Hello and welcome to the Daughters of Charity Services podcast, where we take you to the front line of UK charities and explore how to live out the 400-year Vincentian charism to meet the needs of marginalised and underprivileged people in our society today. I'm your host, Rhianna. Thank you for joining me. In today's episode, we're joined by Anya Bornczak from the homeless charity DePaul International to discuss the current humanitarian crisis in Ukraine and the response from the Vincentian family.
Hi, Anya.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, very good.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Should we start off just by introducing yourself? Do you want to just say who you are, what your role is at DePaul, and a bit perhaps about what DePaul do?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Anya Bornczak. I'm the Director of Operations at DePaul International and have been deeply involved with our response in Ukraine over the past weeks. And in regards to DePaul International, so we are part of the Vincentian family. So we are the parent charity of seven subsidiaries that are in the UK and Ireland, in the United States, France, Slovakia, Croatia, and of course, Ukraine. We have also developed the Ruff Institute of Global Homelessness in Chicago in partnership with DePaul University. And we manage the FAMBIN Homeless Alliance on behalf of the Vincentian family, with the aim of bringing homes and opportunities to people that are homeless, to people that live in slums, and those that had to flee their homes. So refugees, also very much in line with what we're talking about today. That's the DePaul International. And of course, the moment we saw what was happening in Ukraine, we came to the aid of our colleagues there and trying to support them as much as we possibly could in their response.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, you know, what the company in general has been going through over the last month or so. Should we start a little bit from the beginning on what happened in Ukraine and perhaps the immediate response from DePaul, and then how has that adapted over time to how they're responding to the needs now? And I suppose what those biggest needs are in Ukraine at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, DePaul Ukraine, they are already operating in Ukraine for like 15 years, and they have locations in Kyiv, in Kharkiv, in Odessa, in the Ivano-Frankivsk region. So they are like very locally ingrained already and have like a large range of networks. They help normally in non-war times over 8,500 people a year. With outreach services, so bringing food into the community to homeless and destitute people, with shelters, health services. They are also working in prisons to ensure that ex-offenders don't become homeless upon release. So they had like already a very kind of wide range of services to help the poorest of the poor. And when the war started, we were incredibly touched by the response of our staff on the ground, because they were so incredibly committed to continuing what they do. So they kept the shelters open, they kept the day centers open. Where possible, they kept on doing outreach, but it changed slightly that people more like came to the day centers in order to receive food. Our clients in the shelters, they were committed to staying, so they felt safest there. But for us and for our staff, it seemed that there was never a question as to wanting to try as much as possible to stay and continuing to support the poorest of the poor, which was very heartwarming to see. Of course, over the past weeks, the kind of response they were able to do has changed massively. So, for example, in Kyiv, we were forced, unfortunately, to close services for now because the bombing was just too intense. People, they left and basically stayed in the underground shelters, in the subway, just because that was like the safest kind of space to be. In Kharkiv, the shelter kept on running, and actually what is happening now, our clients, they have started to to cook and bring soup to people that are hiding in basements. So whenever they are having any kind of extra food, they're cooking soup and borscht and bring that out in like big buckets in order to bring it to families that are sheltering, which is incredibly wonderful to see. In Odessa, it's a slightly different situation because Odessa, so far, they haven't seen as heavy bombing as the other places. So our services there have actually increased in scale. So they are now seeing over 250 people every day coming to the day center in order to get food and medical aid. And you see people from all across, like all areas across society. So by now, it's really all of them are like the poorest of the poor. However, what we have also seen is that there are a lot of people that still, like, even in that kind of situation, it's like you can distinguish some people that are even more vulnerable than others. So what we have seen, for example, in Kharkiv is that you have elderly people that are very frail, people with disabilities that aren't able to leave their homes. They can't respond to like the air raid alarms and go to a bomb shelter. They're just staying at home and sheltering there, but they also don't have any kind of access to food or to medicine, to hygiene articles. And what we do there is like we're utilizing the volunteer networks that have developed organically on the ground, and they're helping us to deliver aid to these groups. So they have all information that they need about like the people that are incredibly vulnerable, and then we know what are like the preferences for food. So for example, if they still have opportunities to cook or if they need something that is ready to eat straight away, and then we can adjust what we bring them so that they are cared for as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a complex operation, isn't it? So many different needs and so many people are in such different situations, and it's trying to respond to them in a Vincentian way. I'm sure each day those needs are changing as well. And it must be incredibly petrifying for those who can't shelter, having to shelter in their homes. It's a wonderful thing to hear that the people that you support are also supporting others as well, where they can, cooking, as you said, in the shelters, bringing food to people. It warms the heart to hear things like that.
Absolutely. What you were saying, though, about like the changing needs, that is something we have definitely seen. And I think where our kind of Vincentian action before words is coming in very, very handy, because we are very quick to respond as to whatever really is thrown at us. And so for example, what we have seen, like we have our subsidiary in Slovakia. They have done an absolutely amazing job at building up operations that mean that they can purchase large amounts of food and hygiene articles, for example, in country in Slovakia, and then transport them over the border into Ukraine, from where we can then deliver this aid to even like the hardest to reach places such as Kharkiv or Kyiv, which we have done over 15 times over the past month. So I think like by now, yeah, about 15 trucks have come and crossed the border with over 67,000 kilograms of aid. So an absolutely amazing job from the team in Slovakia building this up basically from scratch. But again, like a very good show of that Vincentians, they are able to respond. And what we have seen as well is like this kind of the changing, like the environment is changing the entire time. So right now our focus area in terms of bringing aid in is Kharkiv, because a lot of the shops are closed. People don't have access to pharmacies. People don't have access just like to bakeries, just to get like really kind of essentials for life. And so we need to focus on getting help into places like that. Then you have other places such as Odessa, where people are still able to buy things. And our approach there is that we are supporting our staff team financially so that they are able to purchase all the items that they need locally, which is great for them, but as well great for the local economy. It's quicker, and they can make sure that they are getting exactly what is needed. But what we see as well is that, like, then the kind of cities that have been seeing a lot of bombing over the past month, let's say Kyiv, like the situation there is just like fluctuating. So you have times when there is no kind of food coming in and people aren't able to buy anything locally, which is when we need to respond. But then you have other times, for example, right now some shops in Kyiv are open, people are able to go and get things in the pharmacy. So our approach constantly needs to take into consideration what is happening on the ground and adjust accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. And for people who are here and wanting to help, they can see those evolving needs on your website. And I'll link the DePaul website in the show notes where people can find out more, because I know you're updating the websites constantly. And the people that are watching and really want to help, could you tell us a bit about how they can do that, how they can support the work that's going on there?
Yes. So people have been incredibly generous, and that has been so, so helpful, because we have been able to just build up operations so, so quickly. And I would encourage people to, if they want to help, to, for example, donate to our appeal. And you can see that on the website. The thing is with that is that the moment we do have financial resources, we can adjust our approach real quickly. It makes things so much more efficient. As I said before, it's the moment something is changing on the ground, we need to change as well. And that is just quicker if we have the financial resources to do that. And if we are able to, for example, bring money into to our teams on the ground as quickly as possible so that they can get whatever they need locally. It's so much more efficient than, for example, doing large donations from the UK into the country, but as well, for example, DePaul Slovakia, just because it is bordering, it's very efficient for them to get aid that is needed very quickly across the border. So I would encourage people to do that because that has been really the biggest help for us.
Yeah, thanks for that, Anya. And I'll definitely paste a link in for people to be able to go and support if they can. I really appreciate your time today. It's been great to hear work that's been going on. Is there anything else before we wrap up that you feel that you would like to share?
Oh, absolutely. So especially like a shout out to the entire Vincentian family in the UK, but as well globally. We have seen such an outpouring of support, and our colleagues in Ukraine, they're incredibly grateful for that. Whenever I tell them a little bit about how many people have said that they are in their thoughts and prayers, it warms their hearts. And for them, knowing that they're not alone in all of this, is incredibly important. So I would urge the Vincentian family to continue to do that and to let us know if they want us to pass on any messages. I know a lot of them have very good connections into the country themselves. But yeah, it goes a long way, and it is heard on the ground and very felt and very needed. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Anya. That's heartwarming. So really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Daughters of Charity Services podcast. To get all the latest news from our charities, check out the links and resources in the show notes, including how to sign up to our newsletter. I'm Rihanna. I hope to catch you at our next episode. Bye-bye for now.